tomorrow is Erev Shavuos and Yetz Hashem, and it would be nice really to talk a little bit about Shavuos, except that nobody's going to have time to listen anyway before Shavuos. I maybe should have made the shiur yesterday. I'll call upon him, so it's a little late to talk about Shavuos, but the fact is that we are sort of talking about Aseres HaDibrois, and to see why these Aseres HaDibrois, what their function was. And we showed in the last two shiurim that it wasn't a mitzvah function, because actually according to the Rambam there are 14 mitzvahs in the Aseres HaDibrois. According to the Ramban, l'chol hapochus, there are 11 mitzvahs. So we decided that Dibrois was something else, that Dibrois is ki'ilu the constitution, the 10 yesoides of the constitution of a mamleches koyanim, the goy kodesh. So 2 weeks ago we talked about Anoichi, and last week we talked about La Yilucha, how both these mitzvahs go beyond their mitzvah status to make them have the character of a Dibra, which means giving them, imbuing them with a character which can be defined as being a fundamental yesod in the binyan of a mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. So this week of Yetz Hashem after Shavuos, it's going to be Parshas Nosai. And the Meister, that is a little bit connected with the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em. And so, although Al Pi Seder, we should be talking about Leisisa and then Shabbos, but I'll jump to Kibud Av Va'Em. Maybe in subsequent weeks we'll get back to those other two mitzvahs. Now, Kibud Av Va'Em, Avada Gewisse, Yesoides de Gezach. The question is, why does it have to figure in the Aseres HaDibrois? Again, we must assume that there is something beyond its mitzvah status which gives it a place in the Aseres HaDibrois. The fact is that there are lots of mitzvahs which are very, very important yesoides. Why should Kibud Av Va'Em be dafke here? For example, there's also a mitzvah of Yiras, Ish Imavov of Tiro in Parshas Kedoshim. So if Yiras Av Va'Em can be outside Aseres HaDibrois, so then Kibud Av Va'Em can also be outside Aseres HaDibrois. Conversely, we should ask, don't know whether you can ask such a question, but Be'etzem, it's something which certainly is interesting, that if we assume that the relationship of the Av, of the Son to the Av, makes it into the Aseres HaDibrois, so why is it only the Kabed and not the Meira? Why only the Kovod and not the Meira? The two different categories of mitzvahs, Kibud is Machileo, Mashkeo, Manilo, Malbisho, Maitzio, Machniso, those are the mitzvahs I say, the Ish Imabov Tiroz, Shlo Yeshet bin Koyma, Shlo Yamad bin Koyma, Shlo Yistas, those are the Loisases. Why is it Taka? I don't know to what extent it's a legitimate question, but it seems to me to be a legitimate question to ask, why would Kibud Av Va'Em have a place in the Aseres HaDibrois, but Yira Moira Av Va'Em should not have a place in the Aseres HaDibrois? I think it's worth asking. So what does Kibud Av Va'Em have to do with Parshas Nosai? Now the emphasis is that in Parshas Nosai we have this strange phenomenon that in the middle of the narrative we have three, maybe four blocks of mitzvahs which really one would suppose don't really belong there. First we have the Parsha of Gezel HaGer. What happens when you guzzle from a ger and then he dies without Yoshem? What happens to the property? Then you have the Parsha of Soita. Then you have the Parsha of Nozia. Those three Parshias, they really don't seem to fit into Sefer Bamidbar. The Sefer Bamidbar is a narrative Sefer. So why in the middle over here do these three mitzvahs come over here? they would fit very well into Mishpatim, they would fit very well in Vayikra, into Kedoshim, into Dvorim, into Kisese. But what are they doing over here in the middle of Nosai, where we just got through with the Masur of the Bnei Gershon and the Bnei Merari, and now we're going on to the Chanukah HaMizbeach. So what do these mitzvahs have to do over here, apparently in the middle of nowhere? Now, it's interesting that Rashi does not consider this something that he has to deal with. He doesn't deal with that. Rashi does bring the Chazal, that why does Soita follow Gezel HaGer? And Rashi explains, because Gezel HaGer goes to the Kohen, so it's one of the Matnos Kohona, so if you don't give it to the Kohen, so your punishment will be that you'll need the Kohen when your Isha becomes a Sofek Soita. So Rashi explains why B follows A. Then Rashi explains why C follows B. Why does Nozir come after Soita? Because Kalaroya Soita Pikilkula, Yazir Zatzmai, Min Hayayin. So Rashi explains the inner sequence between those three blocks, but he doesn't explain what the whole three are doing over here. And the Ramban, by contrast, does take this as a shaila which needs solving, and he tells that as a matter of fact each one of the three mitzvahs does belong over here as a result of what we've been doing in Sefer Bamidbar till now, which is counting the Yidden, dividing them into the Machane, and so on. In what sense? So he says that the Gezel HaGer comes to be Menachem the Gerim, because the Gerim must have felt simply awful. I mean, that's what happened by the Mekalel at the end of Emma. He wants to come to Don, which his mother came from Don, and that's, he felt that was his Shevet. So they told him, no, you can't come. Your father was a Mitzri, and Mimele, you're not Miyuchas to Shevet Don. You can't come over here. So Gerim don't have a place in the Machane. The Gerim apparently had to live in the corners together where the animals were. Must have felt a terrible design for the Gerim. And therefore the Torah had a necessity to comfort them and say, look, you're not second class citizens, you don't have the Kedusha of the Shvatim, you're not part of the Shvatim, that's a Metzius, but on the other hand your rights will be scrupulously protected, and you're going to you, that you, when people steal from you, you should know that that justice is going to be done, and they're going to have to give it back, and if you're not around, they have to give it to the Kohen, and so on. So Gezel HaGer is over here in order to put the mind of the Gerim at rest. The third Parsha, Nozir, the Ramban says, is because now that the Mishkan is in the midst of the people, so there's no Sofek in the world that there will be Yechidim who want to do a little more than is necessary. They want to practice some asceticism which goes beyond the ordinary. So the Torah has to tell us what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. You want to shoulder a higher level of Kedusha than an ordinary person? Fine, there is an allowance for that. What do I want you to do? I don't want you to make big tarnesim. I don't want you to gash yourself. I don't want you to put stones in your shoes. Be mazi atzra min hayayin, that does me perfectly. If you can be mazi yourself from the yayin and from tumah and so on, so that's good enough for me, and that is the acceptable form of accepting on yourself a higher level of asceticism. What's Soita doing here? I especially altered the sequence because it's the Soita which is really what's nageya to our discussion over here by Kibbutz Afroem. What is Soita doing over here? Dr. Ramban, because of the counting. How did the counting take place? Le Mishpach HaSom, Le Beis HaVosom, 12 times. Le Mishpach HaSom, Le Beis HaVosom. So you see that the individual is measured by the Mishpacha to which he belongs. You counted the individual, but you counted the individual and were miyachas him to his Mishpacha. You were miyachas to Mishpacha. And then the number of the Shevet was made up of the base Av. So you see that the unit which makes Klal Yisrael is a unit of Botei Ovas. It's not the individuals which are counted, but how many individuals are there in the base Av? And then the base Av is the unit with which the Torah deals. So it turns out that the Beis Av is a very, very fundamental issue in Klal Yisrael. It's the unit around which Klal Yisrael is structured. That's the family. And nowadays there's a new word which people use the whole time now. I checked it in the dictionary, it's only since 1947. There's something called the nuclear family. What's the nuclear family? It's got nothing to do with exploding bombs. It has to do with nuclear in the sense, the nucleus is the basis, it's the bottom line thing of what it is. So the nuclear family is a family without any frills. What's a family without frills? Parents and children. That's what a family is. An extended family would be if the cousins live there, if the uncle and aunts live there, but the nuclear family, that means the Etzem family, Basheru family, that is parents and children. That's the nuclear family. And so that is the unit around which Klal Yisrael is built, and therefore the Torah needed to put in mind a mechanism to protect the integrity of the Beis Av, to know who's a mamzer, who's not a mamzer. These are important things. So therefore the Torah was Mechadosh, the Pasha of Saita. So through the Pasha of Saita, the Tzura of the Beis Av can be protected. That's what the reason why it's over here. So that's why I say that Kibud Avraham has to do with Pashas Nosai, because you see according to the Ramban that Pashas Nosai, why does the Pasha of Saita come in here? The Pasha of Saita comes in here as part of the Musak of Beis Av as a central element in the Binyan of Klal Yisrael. Now, but we have to understand why. Why is the Beis Av? In other words, what is really said when we make the Beis Av the central unit? I mean, the Ramban doesn't go into that, because the Ramban is only interested, why is this Pasha here? So he says, you see that the Beis Av is central, but why is the Beis Av central? What is there about the Beis Av that makes it specifically central? So that, the Ramban doesn't tell us. So that's something which we would have to work out. I saw a Shtickel Torah in Mordechai Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, the late principal of the Gateshead Jewish Teacher Seminary, the big, big seminary in Gateshead. So Rav Miller was for many years the principal of the seminary, and he gave Shiurim every Shabbos. So his second volume of Shiurim is called Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbatai, the droshes which he gave to people in Gateshead on Shabbos. And he has a terrific, terrific insight. When I saw this insight, I'm amish, it boggles the mind, the brilliance of the Tzushel that he makes. He talks about this question. There are two things about Matan Torah, Shavuos de Kesugya. There are two things about Matan Torah which interest him very much. One thing is this question of the Yichan Yisrael betachte soho, that Kofaleim ha-kegigis, that the Rebbeinu Sholem took the mountain and he put the Yidden underneath the mountain. He suspended the mountain over the Yidden and said him to Kablus Mutav im Lav Toitei Kurashem. And everybody asks, the Tosfos talks about it, that why did they need this kofa aleim ha-kegigis? They said Naseh v'nishma. Yidden had already said Naseh v'nishma, according to Chazal, who say that the Pasha Mishpatim really happened in Yisrael before Matan Torah. So in Mishpatim it says that it said Naseh v'nishma. So they said Naseh v'nishma. So what did you need? Kofa aleim ha-kegigis. So let's leave it open, because it's not so nageya to us. If you want to be ma'ayan in it, look at the Gur Aryeh on the Rashi in Yisrael, where he brings this din of Kofalem HaKegigis. The Gur Aryeh explains why it was necessary to have this aspect of kafir by Matan Torah. Very, very interesting. But you saw it, that they needed Kofalem HaKegigis. Another thing, there is in Midrash Chazal, that when the Rebbeinu Shlalom gave, the Yalkut brings it, when the Rebbeinu Shlalom gave the Torah to Yidden, so the Ummas were very, very jealous. They said, why favor the Yidden? Why give them the Torah and not give us the Torah? So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you know why? Because the Yidden, I only gave the Torah after they brought the Sifrei Yehuseim. I needed for them to bring documents or aiders of genealogy to trace them to which family they belong. So you don't have that. You don't have Sifrei Yichus. So since you don't have Sifrei Yichus, so Mimela, I don't give you the Torah. And there is a Chazal, which Rabbi Miller brings, which indicates that there's some connection between these two seemingly disparate inyonim. One, that we needed Kofa Lehem HaKikikis, and the second one is that as a condition of Matan Torah, they had to provide the Sefer Yuchsin. So Rav Miller brings Rayas that the two were connected. Because you needed Kofa Lehem HaKikikis, they needed to produce the Sifra Yuchas. So like Rav Miller, what's one going to do with the other? Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, none of us understand. So he comes up with such a moiradig in your side. It's so brilliant, but it's really like it can help us with so many yesiders. He says moiradig. He says, look, kofalem hakikikis. So you're being kofed them. You're forcing them. What is the value of something that's forced? The guy doesn't mean it. So they say, okay, we're going to accept the Torah. Oh, big deal. You for you. Otherwise, I would have said shom tehek furasrem. What's the point of a forced Kabbalah? So everybody knows the Rambam, that the Rambam says by get, there's a din by get that it has to be that the husband gives it from his own will to give the get. If you force him to give a get, the get is possible. No, so what's the din, Taka, if he has to give a get? There are cases where the wife has the right to claim a get, so then, but he's not giving it with his good will. So the Gemara says, we force him to say right sani. Now what's the good of that? That you force him to say right sani. So a forced right sani is nothing. So if a forced get is nothing, so how does a forced right sani make it better? Zog the Rambam in Perek Beis Mehilchos Gevurshin, he says this, you saw it, probably most people have heard it, that the pshat is like this. When is a transaction considered forced? If he has no Torah obligation to give it, I have a field, and you want to buy it, and I don't want to sell it, so you twist my arm, or you beat me up, until I say, okay, I'll sell it to you, that's called an onus. That's called an onus, because I don't want to sell it to you. Zog the Heilige Rambam. But where the halacha is mechayev me to do it, where the halacha says, I've got to give her this get, so then, a Yid wants to be a Yid, and if a Yid wants to be a Yid, deep down he wants to do the right thing. As long as he wants to remain a Yid, he wants to do the right thing, and what Yid doesn't want to do what the Rabbeinu Shlomo tells him to do. Terus is why he doesn't say, no, I'm not going to give it. The Terus is the Yetzirah is twisting his arm. The Yetzirah is telling him, I don't want you to do it. The Rabbeinu Shlomo has no right to make you do that. So the Rambam, when we force him to say right Sunday, what we're forcing is really the Yetzer Hara. We are forcing the Yetzer Hara to stop bothering him. Once the Yetzer Hara stops bothering him and he says right Sunday, he means the right Sunday. He means the right Sunday. Why? Because he's an Elich Yid. Every Yid is an Elich Yid. Comes out like this. Why is every Yid an Elich Yid? People do Averis. Yeah, but deep down, there's the Pintal Yid, people say. Right? There's inside, there's the Yerusha which we have from the Ovos, the Yerusha that we have from the Ovos, and the Ovos made us into Kedoshim, they made us into holy people. So many of us have piles and piles and piles of ugliness piled up on top of that Kedoshim. But in each one of us, deep down, there is this place of utter goodness, of utter holiness, and that is there, and that never disappears. Mimela kommt doch aus like this. So it's very, very good that the Rabbeinu Shalom said to the Goyim, look, Matan Torah needs Kofalem HaKegiges. Told you, look in the Gemara and you'll see why. But you need Kofalem HaKegiges. Now a forced Kabbalah Satorah is not worth anything. Teretz is, I've got to have the Rambam's Teretz. I have to have the Rambam's Teretz that deep down you want the right thing, and therefore we force the Yetzirah, and after the Yetzirah leaves off, so then you take a want it because you want to be a Yid. But that's us then, because they brought their Sefer Yichus. They brought their Sefer Yichus, that they're Meyuchus to the Ovos, to the Shvatim. So Mimelu, the Kofa Lehem HaKegiges, by them can work. You don't have Sefer Yochsan. You don't come from the Ovetz. So Mimele, when you refuse because you don't want. So you'd be forced. So what's the point of being Kofalem HaGigas? You're going to say yes, 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 because you don't want to be Shomtek for us. Huh? But you don't have such a Mayur de Gatushtan to that Rambam. It's just very, very, very beautiful. What I want to use is Yesoid of Rabbi Miller. I want to use it to explain this mitzvah of Kibbut Avraham, why it's in the Aseret HaDibros. Kum toch ois, that when we think about a Yid, so what did we learn in Soita? That the unit with which Klal Yisrael is built is the Mishpacha, which means that my vertical relationships, the son to the father to the son, they are the Iker relationships, not the horizontal relationships which I have together with my neighbors and my friends and my cousins and my whatever it is. Yeah, so we have relationships. But that's not the Iker Yisoid of Yiddishkeit. The Iker Yisoid of Yiddishkeit is that I'm the son of my father. And if I'm the son of my father, he's the son of his father, and he's the son of his father, and he's the son of his father, ultimately we get back to the Ovos. I think that is the Yisoid, that is the extra halachic. We said that Kibbut Avraham, it's a mitzvah, but mitzvah doesn't make it into a dibra. Teretz is it also a dibra. What makes it a dibra? What is it that makes it as a constitution of Klal Yisrael? Kibbut Avraham means you depend on your father to bring you back to the Ovos. See, and that is, I think, the answer to the question which we started off with, why, if the relationship of the son to the father makes it into the Aseret HaDibros, so why not the mitzvah of Moira Avraham? The answer is because that's the Nekuda. The Nekuda is, why does it make it into the Aseret HaDibros? Because it's through the father, and through his father, and his father, and his father, and his father, that I get back to the Ovos, and that therefore I can be made on my inner core of goodness inside me. And that is why I was Mekabel the Torah. Kum toch ois, that the whole thing is toloi on father-son. But it's not toloi on the moira of father and son, it's toloi on the covet of father and son. Covet means that the father in my eyes is the absolute repository of goodness, of honesty, of ehrlichkeit. Remember the Ramban in Voeschanan says that Rakishom lecho shmai nafshach omai ben tishkar zadvorem asher roi necho fen yosurim levocho kol yimei chayecho vaidato levonecho lefnei vonecho. You have to tell your children, says the Ramban. Why? Because the Rabbanim Shem is not going to make a Mamet Hasinai in every day. So you were there, standing there, is there good? But what about your children? The Av is not Meshaka Livnoizak, the Ramban. That's Mesoira. Mesoira, 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 Mesoira. You know why we're Maiminim? Because our Tatis told us that we should be Maiminim. That's the word. They're not always biological fathers. Sometimes it's the community which has to stand in locus parentis. But Be'etzem, it's the kibbut which the son has to the father. So the kibbut which the son has to the father is really the building block of Klal Yisrael. Only that made it possible for us to get the Torah. And that is why the mitzvah of Kibbut Avraham, but not the mitzvah of Moira Avraham, makes it into the Aseret HaDibros. If you hear this before Shavuos, it's rather good. If you hear it after Shavuos, it's still time to be in Elohim Yid after Shavuos also. I want to wish all of you a good Yom Tov, and we should all be zeichet to see many simchas together.